Last week, during one of our whiplash cold snaps, you know, we've been flipping back between 80 degrees and 40 degrees, it seemed like fall was finally taking some firm footing. I was walking back to church after running a couple of errands and sort of braced against the drizzle and the cold and the wind, the way you do when your mother did not remind you to put on a warmer jacket. It was a Thursday morning, about 11:15, and I was getting back to church. And as I approached church, as it happens on Thursday mornings, folks were lining up to get into Tony's kitchen. And I noticed a woman sort of away from the other folks who were lined up at the door, sort of around the corner of the building, out of the real blast of wind. Clothes were tattered and dirty. She had a couple of overstuffed shopping bags with her containing God knows what. She was not one of the many folks who come here regularly who we know by name. I quickly checked my watch, wondering how much longer it would be before we opened the doors to let folks in, and I asked her how she was doing. And she looked up at me with a big smile and said, "I am blessed." I smiled back at her and assured her that it wouldn't be too much longer before we would let these folks in. She said, "Don't worry." So I pushed my way through the crowd, sort of packing the doorway, and made my way back into my office, and I sat down at my desk. And I sat down at my desk, and I started a litany of complaints. A litany of complaints about whatever minor inconvenience was presently irritating me. And at that point, it was somebody had turned the thermostat up 2 degrees from where I'd set it that morning. And how come they can't fix the threshold when I go over the door for 3 months? And why is this light in my office still flickering? And then I remembered what she said. "I am blessed." Here I am sitting in my warm office complaining. And here was someone waiting outside in the cold and rain just to get a hot meal. She'd probably walked there from somewhere. God knows what else was going on in her life. And she said, "I am blessed." And so if a person waiting outside in a line to get into a soup kitchen, waiting in the rain and cold, can say that she's blessed, honestly and genuinely, as far as I could tell, shouldn't we be able to say that too? Shouldn't we be able to look past wherever it is that we think we might be to where God wants us to be? So I think we should try it. So when I count to three, I want you to say, "I am blessed." 1, 2, 3.
"I am blessed."
You got that one right. That's good. I mean, all of this gives us an opportunity to rethink what it means to be blessed. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're rich or powerful or even comfortable. It means something more profound. It means that we can have hope in God, that there is more to the story. And there will always be something more, even if we feel like we're at the end. C.S. Lewis put it wonderfully and provides another perspective. C.S. Lewis wrote, "When we lose one blessing, another is often most unexpectedly given in its place." When we lose one blessing, another is most unexpectedly given in its place. To know that we are blessed is to know that the next blessing is near. And if you want to look for something in Scripture to point us out point out our blessingness when something is lost, we can turn to the Beatitudes that we read from Luke today. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who weep. What we are given by Jesus is the promise that we will be blessed, that we are blessed in the face of the trials and tribulations that life always seems to throw at us. Being blessed doesn't mean that everything will always go our way. Being blessed doesn't mean that everything will be easy. Being blessed does not mean that we are always going to win. Being blessed means that God will always be with us and that we will always be the children of God. And that is part of what we celebrate today on All Saints' Day. The sainthood of all believers. The idea that we are blessed even in our brokenness. I mean, think about it. Those who have been called by the church as saints were far from perfect, and their lives were far from perfect. We, my friends, are far from perfect, and most of us can attest that our lives are far from perfect. So today, into this great communion of saints, we're going to welcome Ava and Kevin and Lily and August and Jack and Cole. And one of the things that we're telling these six little people is that we are blessed and that they are too. We do this one more time. 1, 2, 3. I am blessed. We're telling them that we have been blessed by our walk with God, that it hasn't always been easy, that there have been some challenges, but that we believe that God is among us. And most importantly, we're telling them that they are not going to make this journey alone. The community of faith that we share is as sure a sign of blessing as anything I know. Now, technically, the idea of being blessed or that something is blessed means that something has been consecrated or made holy. When something is blessed, we're taught to treat it with a certain reverence, an attitude of deep respect, love, honor, and esteem. And we're sometimes pretty good at doing that with stuff. As I watch people delicately dance around the church, afraid they might go somewhere they're not supposed to go. But we're not always so good as treating each other as blessed. And perhaps the most important challenge that we face is this ability and willingness to treat each other as the blessed people that we are in the eyes of God. And all of this has to start with our own understanding that we are blessed. 1, 2, 3. I am blessed. And when we learn that, when we know that, we can see the blessedness in others. We are too quick to criticize and demean other people. And if we were more grateful for all that we have and that all that we are, we could be more generous to others. And I say this knowing full well that 2 days from now, most of us are going to walk into a voting booth. And we're going to look at a ballot, and along that list of names across the top, there's two very familiar names right there at the top. And in all likelihood, for just about every one of us in here, no matter where we stand in the political spectrum, one of those two names scares the living out of us.
Or both. You win.
Blessed are you when people hate you, revile you, and defame you. So on this Tuesday, I want to invite you all to pray. This church will be open as long as the polls are open, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And as you walk into the voting booth and ask for God's help with what you are about to do and the decision you're about to make, ask for God's guidance. And remind yourself who you are by saying... All right, I'll get that down. Because it says, it says, blessed are you when people hate you, but it clearly doesn't say, blessed are you when you hate others. And quite frankly, the 40%+ of the country that disagrees with your presidential choice, whatever it may be, will still be here on November 9th, November 10th, November 11th, and I could go on till the end of time. We can't control who they are and what they do. We can only take responsibility for our own actions, and our actions need to reflect our understanding of our blessedness as we work for the reconciliation that we all need. No amount of blaming, finger-pointing, name-calling, or outright disdain is going to move us forward. Ever. But I say to you that will listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. This is the challenge for all of us saints in the days ahead. This is the challenge that we're inviting these little six people to join us with. A challenge that we take with God's help. Knowing that we are blessed is not just something that happens to us, but how we are called to live. And when we act out of that blessedness, we will not gloat and we will not scorn. We will do to others as we would want them to do to us. We are the saints of God. 1, 2, 3. I am blessed.